Hi, and welcome back. I'm Steve Sill. I'm an elder and lay pastor here at All Villages Presbyterian Church. And once in a while, I get asked to fill in for Pastor Dustin, and I rarely turn that down. Good news for me, hopefully good news for you. But when Dustin asked me if I was interested in doing this, I asked him, is there something specifically that you'd like me to talk about? And he asked me back, is there something from one of your classes that you think I should share? And I thought about it, and interestingly enough, I did have a book that I wanted to give you pieces of. This book, it's called Canoeing the Mountains by Todd Baldsinger. It's a really good book. I recommend anybody that's interested in any kind of leadership to read the book. But it's one that Dustin had actually told me about several months before. It's one he was reading, he was enjoying it, and it sounded like a good book, and I was thinking, well, if I ever get time, I like to read that one, but as I've shared before, with all of my classes, I read a book a week, and it really isn't much time, but thankfully, the class I'm in now called Leadership in the Local Church had that book on its required reading list, and I read it, and I really enjoyed it, and I want to share parts of that with you today, but before we get too far, let's reset ourselves, and let's start with prayer. Will you pray with me? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for this congregation. I thank you for this denomination. All these people who are just looking to advance your word, to advance the kingdom of God in a flourishing way. I ask today that in the words of David, in Psalms 19, that my words be your words, and the meditations of all of our hearts be ever pleasing to you. You are our rock and our redeemer. I'm going to jump into a little bit of scripture right now, and I'm going to set the stage for you a little bit. This takes place right after Pharaoh has released the Israelites from Egypt, and they're heading out. They're in the wilderness, they're coming onto a body of water, and they turn around and look, and apparently Pharaoh has changed his mind, and he sent his soldiers back after them. So this is what the men seeing this, what they say. Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve under the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Moses answered, people, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. Now, basically, they're in the wilderness, they're frightened, and they just want to go, hey, let's just go back. They want to default back to what they know rather than to keep working forward. Okay, so let's take that scripture. Let's put it off the side for a little bit. I'll come back to it and tie it in with the message. But getting back to the book, again, Canoeing Through the Mountains, the book starts out kind of interesting. It almost sounds like a bad joke, but it unfortunately is not. There's two pastors sitting in a bar. And the older pastor looked at a younger pastor and said, you know, when I first started preaching in my first church in Alabama, I never had to worry about declining membership. I never had to worry about declining funds. We didn't worry about evangelism. We didn't worry about discipleship. Everybody just came. In fact, if a man didn't come to church on Sunday, he probably going to hear about it from his workers or his boss on Monday. This was a time called Christendom. And it's a 1700-year era where basically Christianity was flourishing. It was normal to go to church. It was encouraged to go to church. In fact, it was expected to go to church. But those days have changed. Christendom probably ended with a Supreme Court ruling in 1962 that banned prayer in schools. And then there were several other decisions made from then on about prayer not being allowed in public spaces, etc. That was probably one that can consider one of the starts of the end of Christendom. So once we've gotten that point where we've gone from full churches to to, as you saw, declining churches. We're at a loss of what to go. There's no more roadmap. We had such a good roadmap at that point. But as leaders and pastors, there's no more roadmap. Where do we go now that we're off the map? In the book that I was telling you about, The Canoeing in the Mountains, connects this, interestingly, with Lewis and Clark's expedition that Thomas Jefferson sent them on, where they were trying to find the northwestern route to the Pacific Ocean. You see, for 300 years, European explorers just knew that there was a water route to the Pacific Ocean after the mountains. So Lewis and Clark were set on this expedition, and when they reached the summit, they saw the summit, and they assumed that that was going to be their part, where they're just going to go downhill after that, because everybody believed that the East Coast, where we have the coast, marsh areas, we had the plains, the flatlands, and then the summit going up to the hills, that the other side was going to be exactly the same way, that there was going to be a water route to get to the Pacific Ocean. Unfortunately, when Lewis and Clark got to the summit, they saw mountains. In fact, they saw snow-capped mountains for as far as the eye could see. And one of the problems was they had all the wrong tools. They were so sure that there was going to be a water route that they brought, as they were going up the summit, they brought with them canoes. They even had a keelboat because they knew it was just going to be a waterway on the other side. So once they got to the top, they found out they had the wrong tools. Much is the same the case with pastors these days. Most of our pastors, from what I'm reading, were trained in, the exegesis of Scripture, of putting together moving sermons and presenting them. Pastoral care, we have a pastor, Pastor George, is a phenomenal example of pastoral care that our preachers were taught. But they weren't given the tools for the time that we are in right now. So just as Lewis and Clark saw when they saw the mountains, and what we're seeing, we've come to realize that what is in front of us is completely different than what's behind us. And what do we do from here? Well, this book talks about learning adaptive leadership and how do we move going forward. We have to adapt to the changing times. We have to figure out where we go from here. And there's a lot of interesting data that shows there's still a lot of people that are spiritually filled, that are believing, God-believing people. But what we're doing here, sitting in front of a leader, giving a message, isn't what they want to do. For instance, there's one group that craves to have an interaction. I mean, you've ever sat here out in the audience and had Pastor Dustin or someone else make this really interesting point, and you just want to ask a question or get some clarification or can develop that a little bit more. But we can't, because the sermon moves on. That's what some of these other people are looking for, some sort of a way to have an interactive service. There's another whole group of people who say, okay, you bring us in here, you tell us about how we should be and what we should do. Why are we wasting time here? I want to go out and make a difference in the world. So the question becomes, how do we entice those people to get involved with our church? How do we encourage those people to get involved in our church? Well, excitedly, we are working on this. We actually have in the church, we have a group of leaders that is working right now on a vision and mission statement. Once we find the vision, then the mission can move forward. And one of the nice things about that is once we have clarity in that, then everything points to that. We try to do with our finances, our resources, our energy to go towards that vision, that mission. It's still being a little bit out. We're working on it really hard. But I'm really, really excited about it. But there's one part about this that that needs your help. There's going to be one missing element. And to kind of emphasize that point, I'm going to tell you about something that was mentioned in a book I just got done reading. And this happens all over the country all the time. A church brings in a new pastor. And they say, they sit down, they go, you know what? We want to see an increase in young people in our services. We need want to see a youth program. We want to see more people here, basically. But what you don't hear, and what these people are actually saying, is we want you to do these things, but don't change my service. Don't change my church. You see, it seems like a lot of us are, we think we're afraid of change. But honestly, if you think about it, we're not afraid of change. We do change all the time. I mean, we change our wardrobe, we change cars, we change our houses around, we rearrange, we buy new furniture. Change can be exciting, change can be good. What we're afraid of is loss. We're afraid that if we do these things to entice these other people, our service is going to change. We're going to lose what we like. Now understand that. So part of the adaptive leadership is finding ways that we can entice these people without allowing any more loss than is acceptable to the rest of you, to the rest of our congregations. And it's the same thing at churches all over the world. They have to figure out what is an acceptable amount of loss for their people so they can move forward. Remember, the Great Commission, we're here to make disciples. So that is our goal. I'm going to let that sit with you for a couple minutes, and we'll come back to it in a little bit with the final word. Hi, and welcome back. And now time for the final word. I have an instructor that I'm taking the last two classes from named Jim Singleton, and it's a man I really admire. He, in fact, was one of they called tall steeple pastors that helped start the movement that became ECO. And Jim, when I met him, was at the First Presbyterian Church of Colorado Springs. And he's, like I said, he's now teaching the class. And a few months ago, at the end of one of our meetings, there was some time left over. So Jim opened up the floor for questions from people about whether it had to do with the assignment we were on or anything in general. And I mentioned to him, I said, you know, this is real exciting stuff. It gets us excited and motivated to understand how we need to move forward. I said, but that's because we're reading the books, we're listening to the messages. We don't seem to be able to necessarily transfer that energy to our congregants, to our partners. And he said to me, he goes, you know, Steve, as we get older, and he actually looked at me as he said that, so I think he was including me in that, but I don't know. But anyway, he said, because there's so much change going on in the world that our church becomes our comfort food. You know, we get to go to church, we get to see our community, we get to sing our favorite hymns. It's comforting. And I get that. I really do. But one of my classmates asked, well, then how do we get across to them that we need to, within reason, move forward so we can incorporate other people, we can do other things to promote the kingdom of God? And Jim thought about that for a minute, and he asked the question, or he answered the question and said, ask your congregations this question. How many of your kids and grandkids attend church regularly? He didn't mean that as a slap in any way, shape, or form, but our form of church isn't necessarily what's going to continue to bring people to God. And it's not necessarily here in the church that's going to bring people to God. We need to find ways to do that with, at the same time, limiting how much loss our congregation has in their comfort areas. That's part of the adaptive leadership that we're trying to strive for. So I hope you can come on board with us, because, you know, I'm actually pretty excited. I thought about this. I don't have the data to necessarily back this up. But if you think about during the time of Christendom when everybody went to church, I think actually the people who go to church now are more spiritually mature, are more into digging into the Word of God. I don't remember my parents or their friends ever having small groups, ever having triads where they got together and dissected the Bible. maybe had some Sunday school, but other than Sunday, I don't remember any of them reaching out and doing the extra stuff. So that's my encouragement, the encouragement that we have a plan that we're working on, that there's people out there that still want to come to God. We just got to figure out how to get them there, and that we are working on a plan to get them there. I just hope that you can join us in that. And as they say, once we find our vision, then we need to stay calm, stay connected, and stay the course. I hope you'll come along with us for that ride, because I think, actually, it's going to be an exciting one. So as you always know, we have homework. And this, and it's no different this week, just because Dustin's not here. So your homework for today, or for this coming week, is to read Hebrews 12. Read the whole thing, and we'll be going through that next week. Now, receive the benediction. We go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. He has a purpose in you being there. Christ, who indwells in you, has something he wants to do through you where you are. Go in his grace, go in his love, and go in his power. God bless, and have a great rest of your day.